Good morning. I usually talk about the U.S. capital markets and legal considerations, and if you've been here the last few years, I always talk about IPOs. This year, we're going to change the topic a little bit and be a little more timely. Shipping, everyone's talking about private equity this year, so I thought it would be interesting to give you a little look at what is private equity investing. Especially because shipping is competing with a lot of other asset classes for private equity money. And so we'll talk a little bit about what is private equity looking for, and also some of the, to give you a flavor for some of the issues that come up in private equity investing. So the first thing is, what is private equity? So private equity is a distinct asset class that generally represents private capital, whether equity or debt. Who are the players? Well, the players are what we call private equity funds. They are funds consisting of very large institutional investors, mainly pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, that type of thing, and they're looking for good returns, high yield. Some of the big players are names that you all know, Goldman Sachs, TPG, KKR, Carlyle, Apollo, Blackstone. And this year we saw a few very large deals earlier in the year, and I think this has piqued interest in what private equity is. There are a broad range of strategies in private equity, ranging from leverage buyouts, where a private equity firm comes in and buys an entire company, an existing mature company, or minority investments, looking at growth capital or distressed investing. So why is the shipping sector attracted to private equity? There is a lot of undrawn committed capital. So the money exists, it needs to be invested. By some accounts, because there was a lot of money raised in the pre-crisis period, and a lot of that money hasn't been invested, there's about $1 trillion on the sidelines. Traditional sources of debt financing have dried up. We heard that earlier this morning. The public capital markets are generally closed at this time, except for a few sectors. Now, those two also create problems for private equity, because private equity usually wants to make sure that when it's investing, debt capital is available. And since they're so focused on the exit, public capital markets and whether there are openings in the public capital markets are also very important. So while those on one hand can make private equity or shipping more attracted to private equity, they also operate to maybe deter private equity from investing in shipping. There is an ability to act quickly on the private equity side because there's no regulatory review, contrary to accessing the public capital markets in the United States where you have to go through SEC review. And then it's private, which is very attractive to companies because there's no public disclosure of financials, no public disclosure of your chartering rates and other information like compensation and ownership. And there's no requirement to meet that constant quarterly earnings targets and what the analysts are expecting. So why is shipping attracted to private equity? And I think right now there's an opportunity given where we are in the cycle. We're definitely in a down cycle. Private equity is often seeking to invest at or near cyclical lows in any industry. So we have depressed equity and debt valuations, and this is presenting distressed investment opportunities. And this goes with the private equity model of high expectations for returns. So when you enter the market is very important for the way they factor out how the returns are going to work. Private equity firms are looking for growth capital. And right now, with so many shipping companies in distress, there's also the possibility of a roll-up strategy, which is also very interesting because you know, consolidating assets and creating value is something that private equity firms do. So what is private equity looking for? And I've laid out here some of the things that private equity is looking for traditionally, because I think it's important to understand where they're coming from. There have to be some adjustments in the shipping industry, but traditionally they're looking for an investment horizon of 3 to 5 years. And the most important thing is that they need to see the exit at the time they make the transaction. They need to be able to see a realistic exit, whether that's through a sale of assets or an IPO or single sale of assets, depending on how they invest. High return requirements of greater than 25%. Generally, PE firms use leverage to juice up their returns, so the assets have to be financeable. And shipping can provide steady cash generation that can support assets. They're looking for a highly developed business plan. If they're looking at a company, for example, a highly developed business plan, the management team is very important, that it have the right track record. Attractive assets, and they will be closely monitoring the company's performance. Private equity is not a passive investor. They will be very active. And the terms of the transaction will definitely reflect that. So what are the potential strategies for private equity investing? There's a bunch of ways private equity can get into an industry or when they're looking at a company. And one is basically a buyout of a company. And you've all heard about leverage buyouts, where the PE firm makes an acquisition of a mature company and they invest equity and also raise acquisition debt to enhance the returns. In that type of transaction, they generally give management a percentage of the equity. Or they might do a management buyout where they team up with management and finance a big piece of the management equity component. The other typical strategy is an equity investment in a company. And those are usually minority investments that are used to restructure operations, enter new businesses, or finance a major acquisition. In the distressed, you can have early stage private equity investment, distressed capital, or growth capital. And in the distressed sector, we've seen a lot of times private equity comes in more with a loan-to-own strategy, where post-restructuring they want to be in control of the company. Mezzanine debt is another strategy they use. This is an investment of debt in a company or a project that also includes an equity kicker, an equity component, so they can get returns from both the debt and the equity side. Mezzanine debt is typically the stage below the senior secured bank debt and above the common stock equity. So it could be a debt security or it could be a preferred equity. Lots of times it's unsecured or it can also be second lien. It can be expensive and certainly more expensive than traditional bank financing. Joint ventures, this is another strategy for investing, and this could be either with a specific company or specific assets. We've seen it, I think, this year where private equity co-invests with a strategic shipping partner in joint projects. Sometimes the firm will pick an exclusive operating partner in a segment. And usually in this structure, the private equity firm teams up with the operating partner, where the operating partner also invests and puts real money at risk and has a percentage of the equity and also performs the technical and commercial management for negotiated fees and commissions. And then the roll-up by acquiring vessels, this is another interesting strategy. This is combining assets or companies into one entity. Here you can be creative if you're buying assets and try not to take on all the historical liabilities. There's a potentially good market here for roll-ups because asset prices have fallen. And here again, you would need to team up with experienced management in order to, you know, operate the company and operate the vessels. So what are the customary terms of a minority investment? I mean, generally, you'll see PE firms invest in preferred stock, but sometimes it's also common stock. What are the terms they're looking for? It's private, so it's not liquid, the stock. It's generally non-transferable. If it's a private company, they'll probably have preemptive rights, which means that they have the right to continue to invest if the company seeks other investors in order not to be diluted. They will definitely have what we call registration rights, which is the right to have the company register its stock and have a liquidity event like an IPO. And then you will also see other ways that it would protect its interest with anti-dilution adjustments, et cetera, so that it's not diluted in the future with, you know, sales of stock below prices that the PE firm bought into. Board representation and observer rights is key. This will always exist in a private equity investment. And depending on the company and depending on the size of the investment, you will see that the PE firm will have, you know, usually more than one representative. Sometimes it might control the board. And at the very least, it will definitely have observer rights. Governance and veto rights over major decisions. There'll be a stockholders agreement or an investor agreement with the PE firm where there will be lots of things that they will have rights over, significant transactions, acquisitions, dispositions, capital expenditures, the budgeting process, any kind of debt incurrence or dividends, issuing new securities, hiring and firing employees, compensation. Information rights are very important. They'll ask for monthly financials, quarterly financials, annual financials, regular forecasts, regular management and board meetings, and of course, the exit transaction. They will control the timing and the form of the exit transaction. And that'll be whether it's an IPO or a sale, they will have complete control over that. So if you're a company that's seeking an investment from a PE firm, there's a few things that you should focus on, and these are some of the issues that come up, but that will help you conclude your transaction in a way you want to. And confidentiality is one of the things that's very important. And it's a little hard to deal with, but basically you want to minimize the risk of misuse of competitive information. So, you know, private equity investors are looking at deals all the time, and they may be considering investments or acquisitions in competing businesses. And so you want to try to limit the disclosure and use of the information so that you provide them information maybe over time as you see how serious they are. And in some cases, you know, try to restrict the most sensitive information until maybe the last part of the process. You can stage the diligence to deal with the economic issues as quickly as possible and see whether they're in fact interested. And to the extent that it's a deal where employees are very important, you want to minimize employee loss, because if they're looking at other deals where they need employees for their other investments in shipping, they may be poaching your employees, so you want to have a non-solicitation covenant. Speed is also important. I mean, time is the enemy in these kinds of deals. You need speed because PE firms have short attention spans. They'll move on to something else if you don't keep them interested. There are so many different asset classes and industries competing for money. They'll just move on. So it's important to keep diligence as compressed as possible and try to keep the momentum of the transaction. And as the process drags on, they might view the company as more tied to the transaction. And so they may try to extract more, you know, demanding terms from you. Certainty is also very important. You want, when you sign your transaction, you want to make sure that it will close. So the most important thing there is to keep closing conditions as small as possible. You want the time between signing and closing to be minimal. Financing, if the PE firm needs financing, you should have that committed at signing. And any kind of, you know, MA, material adverse change, or material adverse effect conditions should be as tight as possible so that absent something extraordinary happening, your deal would close. And market or industry events, especially in shipping, should not be part of the equation. Indemnification, this is really very important. You should expect that whatever type of transaction you're doing, the company will have to give full reps and warranties, even if it's a minority investment, and that'll be highly negotiated. The PE firm doesn't like to take risk in that respect. And the important thing here is to just be careful to minimize their ability to walk or threaten to walk so that price negotiations don't happen at the very end in order to reduce what you've agreed to. I just want to spend a little time because I think that this might be something that we're going to see in the future. And so there are a lot of public shipping companies out there. There's a transaction that a lot of private equity firms enter into in other industries called going private transactions, where when they see an undervalued company that's public, the PE firm buys it, basically, and takes the company private with the expectation that in a few years, when market conditions are better and more value is created, they would again re-IPO that company. And this is a very interesting transaction. There are a lot of conflicts in this transaction because the PE firm typically teams up with management or significant stockholders to, in effect, buy out the minority public. And process here is very important. Usually there's a special committee of the independent directors. They have financial advisors, legal advisors, and there they focus a lot on whether there's any other alternatives that are value-enhancing, and there's special SEC disclosure. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see some of these transactions in the future. I just want to close with some of the challenges in private equity that we need to face in order to see private equity playing a major role in shipping and as far as providing alternative capital. Private equity still continues to be new to shipping. It's a new industry for them. They have limited operational experience. They are slowly becoming educated. It's different than other industries they're used to. Shipping is very relationship-driven, and that's a new concept for PE firms. And the cyclicality is also very intimidating because you really have to understand how the business is cyclical in order to understand when the right entry point is and that there always is, you know, a rainbow again and things get better and liquidity events can happen. And it's also important for shipping companies to understand private equity. It is not, you know, easy money with less strings attached. Private equity will be your partner in the business. They will be intimately involved in your business, and they will be constantly looking for that liquidity event and the exit between 3 to 5 years after their investment. And they get very unhappy when the five-year mark passes because, for them, they're constantly out in the market raising new funds, and it's important to them to show that historically they've performed, and in order to do that, they need to show liquidity events to their investors. So the liquidity event, I can't emphasize how important that is to private equity, and there is attention, and the important thing is to strike the right balance in this between the PE firm that's looking to exit And ship owners that are generally more buy-to-hold investors, and they're not looking generally to exit in a couple years later. Although the IPO can be, you know, a great liquidity event for both the owners and the PE firms. And finally, distressed investing is challenging. You've heard this morning everyone talking about how we're in this environment where the companies are very highly leveraged, and that creates, you know, a very large challenge for PE firms because they need to find franchise equity value, and that's sometimes hard to find when companies and assets are so highly leveraged. Thank you.